This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Yeah, and our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, and you want to hurry up and save with Dodge Power Dollars during the Dodge Summer Clearance Event. That is right. Josh Hancock joining us, my pal in Hollywood, the Hollywood car consultant, the man that matches the car with the character in all things film and television. I understand you got back late from Maine doing your event there. I hope it was very successful, Josh. How you doing?
Good. Very good, Alan. It was very successful. Thank you.
Good, good.
And, you know, I've been driving on those Maine roads, which is so much fun.
Are they not good? I've never been to Maine. Well, I think I passed through Maine once.
No. I'm making the point that the roads are wonderful. Like, you know, you have all these coastal roads, and then you have these great roads up into the state. It's just a great place to drive.
Nice.
It's like Oregon, really.
Oregon, I got to tell you, Oregon, I live in Oregon, everybody, and I travel the world. I mean, I was in China a few weeks ago, and I'm getting ready to go to Banff, Canada, and but anyway, I travel a lot, and the roads in Oregon are fantastic. Thank you, Oregon, for having great roads. So, yes, to that point. And I want to go to Maine, and I want to see where you're from, Josh. We've been friends 20 years. Yeah. What's going on? No invitations yet. Thank you very much.
Okay. That's because I've moved 3 times to stay away from you. So, you know, I lived in New Hampshire, and then you got that address, and then I moved to Vermont. I mean, come on.
What were you driving in Maine?
So I was driving a brand new E450 Mercedes 4MATIC wagon.
You know what's funny about wagons? Some hate them, some love them. They're popular. I mean, like the Audi Avant, which is the wagon vehicle that they make. Mercedes, like the one you're driving, the wagon. Volkswagen makes a little Jetta wagon. Did I hear a rumor that Volkswagen is going to quit doing that?
Volkswagen has announced they make 2 wagons right now. They're getting out of both.
Really? Wow. That's
very sad. You know, the number of wagons keeps decreasing, although there's a great Buick wagon.
Well, you know, when I was in China, that is the vehicle of choice is the Buick, by the way. And you know what's funny about wagons? Yeah. You know, think about it.
Yeah.
It was originally the station wagon, and it was because they used this station wagon vehicle to take you from the train station up to your hotel. That's how they got the name station wagon, taking the luggage and everything. But I happen to be a wagon guy. I mean, I love wagons.
You know, we're in this craze for SUVs, and I talk to people, and they're like, it's like a pack of dogs. Well, my friend says I have to get a wagon and get up, and it's perceived that they have more value than a wagon or a sedan. And as we know, especially being in Maine at this time, I got to drive those roads, which in an SUV would not have been the same experience.
Huh. Why do you think?
I also want to tell you, well, the car's fantastic. I mean, I've driven different ones through the years. I even owned one and tried to sell it to you, if you remember.
That's right. I remember that gold station wagon. That's right.
It was an 06 E4. 500.
What was that? Your uncle's, right?
Yes, it was. I inherited it, and it was, you know, an E500. It was so fast with a big V8,
right?
With air suspension, the whole thing. And you showed interest in it for some reason.
No, I don't know.
And you came down and
that's the thing.
Kicked the tires.
Yes,
and then you walked away.
You said you. Yeah, you said the key thing there: air suspension. Air suspension scares the living criminately out of me. I'll tell you what. You buy one, like the Lincolns, you know, the older Lincolns. One shock is like $800-900 and you got to get it installed. It's like, no, I want those $59 shocks. We'll be right back. It's the day.
I want you to get over there.
Oh, shut up. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Yes, well, I do feel good when I talk to Josh Hancock. He's an old buddy, you can tell. That's the only guy I can tell to shut up on the radio. I'm trying to take a commercial break and he's still talking. That's the way it is with Josh.
No, I think you were just upset about to, you know, you're upset about air suspension and you need to get over it.
You know what I got to tell you? I bought a 2011 X5 turbo diesel, right? Six-cylinder, twin turbo. They get like 25 miles to the gallon. This X5 is the big kind of, well, not the big. They now make an X7 or 8, I don't know, the bigger one. But this is the big,
X7.
Big enough SUV anyway. It gets 25 miles to the gallon from BMW. My son-in-law drove it home, and I went to go visit my my daughter and her husband and the new grandbaby. And I saw the X5 sitting there, and the suspension was like low. And I went, oh, no. Oh, no, it's got air suspension. You know, I held the cross up like, oh, evil. And so my son-in-law comes out and he hits the button and to unlock the car. And the car goes, and it pumps up. The car lowers itself like a camel or an elephant when you want to get off. When it's time to get out of the car, it lowers itself so you have easier ingress and egress or whatever that word is I'm supposed to know. So, you know what I'm saying, right? I think I got it right, actually. Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
Yeah. Yeah, you did, actually. I'm very surprised.
So anyway, he says, no, that's great, man, air suspension. And I'm like, oh, yeah, wait till you have to fix it. Anyway, I'm not a big fan of air suspension. I am a big fan of wagons, though, and I'm kind of sad to hear you made the announcement that Volkswagen has announced that they're going to do away with their wagons. They're going to build more SUVs. SUV, it's like people, it's the perfect all-around silver bullet vehicle. The dads are, all right, it's an SUV, I can drive it. It's not a station wagon, soccer mom station wagon. I bet Volvo's smiling, though.
I'm gonna need you to calm down.
All right,
look, we know is that they're just, you know, as Jay Leno says, you travel in an SUV, but you drive a car.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
And that's really true.
I mean, it's a mindset.
Great handling SUVs, but this E50 4MATIC wagon, and mind you, 4MATIC means all-wheel drive.
Yep.
You know, it is a great handling car. And, you know, out on the highway, I went up north in Maine about an hour, two-hour drive to a lake, to the cousins. We had that car pegged at 80 on cruise, and we got 27.5 miles to the gallon with it.
Wow. Now, you know what's interesting? Jaguar, I was in Europe, and Jaguar makes a big station wagon. They don't bring it over here.
Yep.
Of course, Mercedes, the one you're talking about, that's a pretty good-sized station wagon. Cadillac with the CTS had a wagon. I don't know if they still make that.
Right.
You know, everybody was everybody was making a wagon, and now they've all – Cadillac's got like four SUVs now. I don't think they make the CTS.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make the CTS after a pretty long time. I mean, after a little while here. I've heard some rumors, but I don't know.
Well, no, they are dropping three cars and replacing it with one car.
The cars are dead, I hate to say it. SUVs are alive.
Don't say that.
I know.
Bite your tongue.
Ouch, that
That's
hurt.
True. Now, in New York City, when they showed us the new midsize Hyundai, which is the
Palisade.
No, I'm talking about the sedan.
Oh.
The sedan that I know.
Man.
I want to say cilantro. I want to say cilantro, and
cilantro.
It's not true. It is.
It's not a salad. It's not a taco.
I know. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you.
Elantra.
What it is.
No, you know what? You're screwing me up here. You got trying to remember all these names of these cars. Olympus. No,
but,
that's
I
a
mean,
camera.
It's the Sonata. The Sonata.
Okay, don't yell.
Okay. So they please. It's all I can do on this show to talk. So they showed us the Sonata, and the first slide said, we are still selling 5 million mid-sized automobiles a year in the United States. In their market.
Well, you know why? It's a healthy food. The Hyundai Cilantro is a very healthy food car.
made out of cilantro. Problem, it's like Henry Ford. You can have it in any color as long as it's green.
That's right. We ought to tell Hyundai. We're going to send this to Hyundai. They're going to go, what?
Well, and the car, by the way, the new design, the features in the car. It's got features. It has a tray that you put the phone in that charges the phone and cools it, by the way.
Are we still talking about the Cilantro?
We're on the Cilantro. I'd like to go back to the Mercedes. The Mercedes,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's a salad. No, we should call this segment a salad of cars. How about that?
You know what? The station wagons are like big breadsticks. That's why people don't like them, and they're fattening.
This is not going well, by the way.
It's good. You know what? It's too late. This is what we do on the radio. It's cars and food because we're both fat guys and we can't help ourselves. All right, let's take a break and compose ourselves. Don't you talk. I'm taking a commercial break. Our show is brought to you in part. Oh, my God. I don't know who can I even put in this segment without getting in trouble. Oh, Brembo. It's time to put on the brakes on this segment. Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions. My goodness. Oh, well, you're listening to The Drive. I don't know whether I should apologize or just keep going. I think this might be a good show. My goodness. Take a little break. We'll be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right. So this is a warning to all listeners. Something happens to the show when Josh is on it. I don't know what happens. I get like mentally retarded here. I can't think. See, it's happening right now. I don't even know what to say. I've been doing this 30 years. Oh.
Well, I think the fact that you're excited about possibly going after a sponsor that's a salad dressing now, maybe Green Goddess, this could open up a lot of things, and we could have this segment, topping in the car.
Can I ask you were talking about station wagons, and I know there was something to that. Where were you going with that?
So I was going that I took the station wagon to every year in Wells, Maine, for charity. There is a show of Woody's automobiles with wooden sides. Most of the time they're station wagons or trucks. There are some convertibles, but the majority of these vehicles, 90% at this show, were station wagons.
Woody wagons, right.
Beyond that, this particular year, it was a national group. They decided to hold their event in conjunction with this small main event. So there were about 100 cars, and very significant cars. Mm. There was a four-row Dodge sort of half wagon, half truck that was converted, and they made 12 of these things, and they made them for the camps in Maine to transport campers. Mm. And it was just amazing. Found this thing in a barn.
So it was a barn find. You know what's the reason why we talk about this kind of stuff? Because we go to these things all the time, people. We go, like, I was at Hot August Nights in Reno with the Hot Rod show. Josh was in Maine at a Woody show.
Yeah.
This weekend, I'm at Pebble Beach. You guys will hear that next weekend. Are you going to end up going, by the way?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So we'll be at Pebble Beach, and I hope to get Josh on the show because I'm going to punch him, and I'll let you hear that on the show, and he's going to scream.
Great.
He's going to make that chicken
Excellent.
Noise he makes. Anyway, whatever it is. You got to go. Take your kids. Take your wife. If there's a car show on the weekend, just go strolling around. It's eye candy. It's just fun. You look at more and more the strangest cars. Old station wagon, Rambler station wagons are getting restored, and they're dropping big old honking V8 engines in them. And the old Model A's and T's are still out there. And man, talk about a bargain right now on cars, on classic cars. Yeah. Holy mackerel! Yeah. There's a bargain if you love those old Model A and T cars. Those cars are very inexpensive.
Well, but, I think also what people don't understand, and now with the internet, it's easy to find, but in any given area, there are car shows that you never know existed. You know, there's so many. And I think the statistic that you gave me, Meguiar's as a sponsor for you, I think that they support something like 3,000 car shows a year.
Right. And most of them are going on in the summer.
That's all over the world.
Yeah.
That's all over the world.
So let me ask you, before I have to say goodbye to you, you got 2 minutes.
There's no more questions at this time.
No, there is. Do you have any, newsy news that's good to the average Joe out there?
Newsy news
that's
good to the average Joe?
Yeah, because, we leave the average Joe behind that doesn't care about these car shows. What other news you got?
Well, I think the average Joe does care about that. But let's think about some great.
Hold on. I'm talking about the news about Lyft and Uber, you big dummy. You told me something.
Oh,
I thought that's interesting.
Oh, that,
God,
well,
that was a softball, and you didn't even hit it. Oh, my God.
I thought you wanted it to be uplifting.
You got 2 minutes to tell the news.
Okay. So the average Joe, who is affected by Lyft and Uber, we thought that this was going to help, people who sell their cars and whatever. So it turns out that in the San Francisco market, for example, traffic has doubled because of Lyft and Uber.
Oi.
Doubled. Because all these people are in their cars moving other people around.
Oh.
And it has created in Los Angeles as well traffic nightmares at the airport.
Right.
So it's having the opposite effect of, in essence, cutting down on traffic. But, when I went to Maine, there was never Lyft or Uber last summer. You couldn't find one. This summer, everywhere.
Well, it's funny. I took an Uber the other day, and I was talking to the gal that was an Uber driver. I go, so what do you do when you're not doing this? She says, I'm a nurse. I go, come on. You're an Uber driver and a registered nurse. She goes, yeah. She goes, I go, well, so which one do you make more money? She goes, I do pretty good with Uber. And she was Uber and Lyft. And I was like, what? Because, I feel like that's a job for somebody that can't get a job. And I can drive. I've got a car. But no, people are making pretty darn good money. And she didn't want to tell me exactly what she was making. But it was interesting conversation. I talked with her for like 20 minutes. And
yeah, but where were you?
I was in Corona, California.
Okay.
So, they're all over the place there. But I think for the big cities like that, I prefer Uber or Lyft over taxis because people take better care of their own cars than the urine-stained carpeting of the taxis that are disgusting smelling. People that own taxi companies clean the carpets. Josh Hancock, joshcar.com. Thank you, brother. Time for you to get off the show.
Alan.
Go back to what you're doing in Hollywood.
I got to go get into my cilantro.
Okay. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off. Roll out in a Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger or share your summer in a Durango. Hurry into the Dodge Summer Clearance event now and save. See dealer for details. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/3/19. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Dodge. And, you know, they're having this Dodge summer clearance event now. Save with Dodge Power Dollars. Check out a Dodge. Go by a dealer. Take one for a test drive. Like my buddy George Kennedy III calling in from Car Tenders, Car Guru, Boston Globe, U.S. News, and World Report. And he is on the line with us right now. Where are you right now, George?
I am on the side of the highway at a rest stop.
Oh, you know what? The cops are looking for you. Get out of there. I told you, don't hang out at those rest stop bathrooms.
Look, that's just so if your listeners hear, that's just a truck and a jaybreak going by. Okay. But it sounds like your show should be sponsored by some lunch spot with you guys talking about cilantro. Cilantro.
The Hyundai Cilantro. I gotta love that one. I can't wait to see this. Oh, so you've broken down in whatever cull of a car that you've been driving.
No.
Oh.
I'm in between events. You know me. Just like I'm always on the road.
I know.
In between the comings and goings of being a freelance journalist.
There you go. So let me ask you something. I noticed my guys said that you want to talk about the real modern day Toyota Supra. What are you talking about here? What's going on?
All right, well, this may come as a hot take, but a little bit of context. So right now I'm driving the 2019 Lexus RCF, which been around for a few years. Awesome car, you know, compact luxury coupe, naturally aspirated 5-liter V8. And like a few years back when like the FT1 concept came out that would eventually become the Supra.
Right.
I asked, you know, some folks from either Toyota or Lexus, hey, you know, when are we going to see a Supra? What's it going to be like? Yada, yada, yada. And in the midst of them being tight-lipped about the FT1 being the Supra and maybe them having to be tight-lipped about their relationship with eventually BMW, you know, one of them, and I won't say who, basically said, you know, when you think about it, the RCF really is the next generation Supra from a luxury standpoint, a technology standpoint, performance standpoint, and a price standpoint. I'm like, huh. That actually makes a lot more sense. Now that the Supra is out, and this is what I've been telling people, I'm like, look, I love that the Supra exists. It's just, it's not 100% a full Toyota vehicle, right? So I like that it exists, but if, you know, why put all the eggs of your heritage into a basket that belongs to somebody else?
All right. So just for those who are not full-on car fanatics, lunatic fringe car guys like me and George, Toyota is coming out with the Toyota Supra again, and they're just starting to hit the marketplace. Very, very few are actually on the street. You probably have not seen one on the street yet. So if you see one, you're going to go, is that a BMW or is that a Supra? Right? And what George said, it's on a BMW chassis. And then the body was kind of massaged over by Toyota, but it's probably more BMW than it is Toyota.
It is so much BMW that when you get in, it has BMW iDrive, their infotainment system. Hmm. It's got their shifter. It's got, you know, their instrument panel. It's got, you know, their take on everything. You know, fine if it's a reskinned car, but I thought they would reskin the interior too. And that's where I think the Lexus RCF has sort of a claim it could stake, even the LC500 for that matter, where if you look at the cabin of the Mark IV Supra, it's got that awesome kind of driver-centric cowl. You see that in the new Corvette, even the last Corvette, that divider that kind of brings all the instruments tilted towards the driver. You get, you know, it's kind of BMW interiors, as nice as they are, they're kind of cold and mechanical, whereas, like, well, you know, mid-90s Japanese interior is kind of like wrapped around you a little bit.
So you're calling me again from a bathroom at a truck stop? Is that what you said?
I'm inside
the bathroom of the truck. Inside the bathroom? You broke up just a little bit. In the bathroom of the truck stop.
There's no echo here.
All right, I'm just giving you a hard time. So here's the problem with your synopsis of what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
It cannot be a Supra if it's a Lexus. It cannot be a Supra if it's got a V8. The Supra's always had the inline six-cylinder. And I get what you're saying, the kind of modern day Supra could be this Lexus RCF. And I don't know why they chose to kind of keep that, you know, inline six cylinder heritage. And, you know, they could have done it with a V8. Who cares? You put the name on it, people are going to be happy with it.
Counterpoint, BMW, it went from a twin turbo straight six to that 4.4 liter V8 and then back to a straight six for the M3. And you could, a reskinned Lexus RCF has a better claim to the Supra name than a reskinned BMW Z4.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I am supposed to have a Supra in my hands in the next few weeks here. I raised my hand. I said, I want one of these cars. I drove it. I loved it. It was amazing. I love the Z4 too. This is very much like the Pontiac vibe and the Toyota version of whatever it was. I don't even remember what the Toyota version. I happened to be behind. You want to hear? I got to tell my story. I was in line at a Taco Bell in Susanville, California the other night, coming back from Hot August Nights in Reno. And Susanville is this tiny little pimple of a town. And the only thing open at like midnight was the 24-hour Taco Bell, but they don't open the lobby. And I was pulling a trailer, so I couldn't take my truck and trailer through the drive-thru. This is like you calling me from the bathroom of a truck stop, and there's a guy here,
and you're like,
I'm out of toilet paper. Can you spare a square, right? If that's
so, would you walk through the drive-thru for fourth meal?
I walked through the drive-thru. Me and my buddy, right? We walked through the drive-thru at about midnight, whatever time it was, and in front of us was a Pontiac Vibe, which is made in California when it was made in the Toyota plant. What was the name of the Toyota?
It was the Matrix.
The Matrix.
It was the Toyota Matrix.
Right. So when you see a Pontiac Vibe on the road, everybody, you're really looking at a kind of massaged Toyota Matrix. But they were both good vehicles. Pontiac's out of business. Pontiac was scratching for help at that moment in time to create a small vehicle like that. I've heard the story from Toyota that, you know, gosh, we didn't want to develop an inline six-cylinder turbo. Who's the best? And here's what I love. When these guys, these massive competitors, give each other a compliment, they go, who's the best inline six-cylinder manufacturer out there? It's clearly BMW. They've been doing it forever. Toyota made a fantastic inline six-cylinder, but it may cost $1 billion to develop an engine like that, where, you know, obviously BMW's got them. We're like, yeah, well, what about your chassis too? So they kind of went and made a big deal. But here's the deal, George. The reason why this is important for you Toyota Supra lovers is because the 2020 Toyota Supra is about the same price as it was in the year 2000, 20 years ago. So technically, if you look at inflation for a minute, that car should cost about $75,000, not the $50,000 that you're going to be able to buy it for because of the partnership Toyota had with BMW. George, can you spare a square? You stay there sitting on that nice warm seat, hit the rest stop in somewhere, wherever he's out there. The man calls us from the toilet. Unbelievable. This is what we do as journalists. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. When you're gonna give me some time, Sharona,
will you make my motor run? My motor run. Gonna come in. Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at thedrivewithalantaylor.com.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. George Kennedy III is joining us. Our show brought to you in part by the full lineup of electrified Kia Niro SUVs, because the future is just the future until you make something of it. Kia, give it everything. And George is out there giving it everything right now at a truck stop in the men's bathroom. Nobody will spare a square. It's so sad. George, anyway, I'm sending a roll, a full roll to you. You know, so when somebody knocks on your stall door and says, I got a roll from Alan, you can go ahead and open the door and be ready. Or let him, I'll have him hand it to you under the stall door. Don't worry about it.
Gee whiz, you're too kind.
So what state are you in right now? I'm just curious.
I'm just in Mass. I'm just in between two events, two stores and chasing down. So, you know me.
Right on.
I'm in the driver's seat, not the men's room, the driver's seat of the new 2019 Lexus RCS. Not new, been around for a few years.
Do me a favor.
Still an awesome car.
Give me your 2 minutes on this car.
Sure. So, like I said, in many ways, it's, you know, before the Supra came out, it could be considered the successor to the Supra, the Mark IV, in terms of luxury, performance, tech, all that stuff. It's nice to see a naturally aspirated V8 in 2019. I know it sounds a little crazy, but...
No, I know.
You know, BMW...
I've driven this car. I love it. There's nothing not to love, and I mostly agree with you about the Supra, but continue.
Yeah, sure. So whereas, like, the thing about the Supra, too, is it's kind of a cramped car. I'm 6'3", 250 pounds. This car is a bit more of a GT than a straight-up performance car. There's a quasi-usable backseat.
Right.
Great trunk. Really comfortable seats. The heated and cooled seats. It's kind of got this bit of a cockpit, sort of a la Porsche with some of its recent cars with the center stack that kind of rises up into the main center console. It has the thing that, if you recall, you and I talking about Honda Acura with its very good, no good, very bad remote touch system. Lexus kind of did that first with a remote touch, and it's all right. The only reason I'm not bashing it as much is it's been around longer.
Right.
So I might have a little bit more experience with it. A touchscreen would be better at the end of the day. So, yeah, verbally, of course.
But how much is that car? How much is it? That's what I want to get to.
Sure. So it starts at 64.7, all right? Ooh. And you add things like the carbon fiber roof, carbon fiber roof spoiler, triple beam headlights, you know, premium leather seats.
90,000.
Sound system. Yeah, yeah. 82 and just under 82.5.
Wow.
And, you know, I think my takeaway from this car, though, is, like I said, it's a GT. And, you know, nice thing about that is it kicks as hard as you kick. So yeah. If you recall, you know, when I was in the Hellcat Red Eye a few weeks ago, that thing wants to bite at all times. Your Viper ACR wants to bite at all times. This thing, in most modes, is pretty sedate. It'll give you passing speed. It'll give you acceleration from a standstill. You have to put it into Sport Plus and really get on it, and that's when the engine comes to life, and you get that real snarl, and the thing kicks. So it's pretty cool in that, like, it's really two cars in one.
Right. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. You just mentioned something there about the cars that bite. Unforgiving. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much power that they will bite you. My Demon bit me. I did a spin in that car, literally, for letting off the gas pedal too fast. That's how much power. It spun at 105 miles an hour. Thank God nothing happened. I got the hand of God reached out and kept me from, you know, anything.
But ETO.
It bit me, man.
Throttle takeoff oversteer right there.
That's right. It actually has a name. Wow.
Yes, it does.
What is it again? Hold on. I'm going to write that down. I use it as my ETO. New excuse.
Throttle takeoff oversteer. I think I learned that in a racing school somewhere down the line.
Throttle takeoff oversteer. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, they make you spin the car out on purpose at first. I mean, in reality, they just could have followed you around with a camera.
You're right. But that's a really good point to make. And I love that Dodge is putting all these big, giant engines and everything from, you know, of course, even their SRT with the Jeep and... But it's like they are so smart. They make these monsters that nobody else is kind of even getting near unless you spend 8 times the money. I mean, 0 to 60 with the Demon, 2.3 seconds, fastest car, pops a wheelie. Forget it. I love that Dodge is doing that. To me, that is bold, and fortune favors the bold. Good for them. But I also love the fact that Lexus is not afraid to make their F line, which is, you know, people usually say the F word when they drive one of those cars. They're like, this is a Lexus, right? And so, right. And I happen to love these cars. The Lexus RCF is a fantastic car, and I kind of agree with you that it could have been the modern-day all-Toyota Supra, but they wouldn't be able to call it a Toyota because it is a Lexus. Don't go anywhere, George. One more segment with you. George is sitting in a car at a rest stop. That's how loyal my buddies are. This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere.
Over the years, automakers have spent a lot of time talking about the future. At Kia, they don't sit around dreaming of a better tomorrow, because they already made it, so that you can have it today. Introducing Kia's lineup of electrified Niro SUVs, the hybrid, the plug-in, and the electric, with an EPA estimated range of 239 miles. Because the future is just the future until we make something of it. Kia, give it everything. 239-mile EPA estimated range on a full charge. Actual range may vary. Niro EV is in select retailers and select markets with limited availability.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our show is brought to you in part by the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Subaru's a great brand. Love is now bigger than ever with the new three-row Subaru Ascent. Check out Subaru, a fantastic option. They make great vehicles. George Kennedy joining us, jonesing on the Lexus RCF. He really thinks that it should be called a Supra, and I get it. I mean, final thoughts on that car, though. I mean, $82,000.
Well,
it's a gentleman's GT car is basically what it is.
It is, but it's really well dialed in for a car that's kind of, you can feel the heft of the V8. So I will concede that where Supra purists are going to enjoy the real Supra is that lack of weight coming into the nose in turns. Like, you feel a balanced car when you're braking
and
turning.
Oh, it's fantastic.
This, you definitely feel that weight. You know, you're familiar with that with the V8s and V10s that you drive.
Oh, yeah.
But for this, as an all-round car, that this is far more commuter-friendly than a Supra is.
Right.
I had that car for 24 hours a few weeks ago, and I slammed my head twice.
What, the Supra?
Right?
You had the Supra?
I don't have to contort myself.
Well, hold on. Let's tell people what a morphidite you are. You're a big man. You're a gigantic, strange, large man. How much do you weigh? Like 320? How much are you?
250, thank you.
But you are 6'3" or something. Yeah. The taller you are, you know, when you get into a sports car with a low roof and, you know, the rake of the windshield is back, you got to finesse your way in there. All right, enough of that talk. People are like, all right, I've heard enough about the Supra and the Lexus. So I'm going, literally, and actually since I taped this before I left, I am at Pebble Beach right now for the Pebble Beach Concours or Delegates, which is on Sunday. But all week, they call it Monterey Car Week. Tuesday starts in Carmel, and they have like a Carmel by the Sea car show that's takes over the main drag. I think it's Ocean Avenue or whatever they call it there. My buddy Ed Justice is the MC of that with another guy. I'm not going to name the other guy because I don't know who it is. But anyway.
You go to this thing every year?
Oh, I've been going.
Week.
Yeah, I've been going for 25 years. Been doing my show. So I'll do a show from the 18th green, just right where the whole thing ends on Pebble Beach on Sunday. So I'll tape a show and bring it back for next weekend. But you know what? It's a week of events. There's the Quail event, which is like $500 a head if you get tickets. You could probably buy them for $1,000 if you're lucky. You know, there's guys out there. It's like, really? To go to a car show? Yeah. Well, it's all food. There's all these restaurants that are out there on the lawn with the food and, you know, these tents set up. And it's kind of...
What? The Adam Carollas and Jay Leno's of the world that are going to this.
Oh, yeah,
thing,
no,
right?
Adam's gone with me before. Jay Leno's done my show probably 15 times there. He's got Jay Leno's garage now, so he's going to be there filming it, so it's hard to get him to do the radio show anymore. But, no, yeah, lots. I mean, Ralph Lauren and people that are dead are actually still there, you know, like Weekend at Bernie's. You know, it's like, I thought that guy was dead. You know, no, he's still alive. He's got a big car collection.
So what if you are, all right, so A, next year I'm going to go and drop your name everywhere and get invited.
No, no, B, that doesn't help, by the way. I'll help you.
Get me barred.
On the QT. By the way, Concorso Italiano, so the Italian cars. There's car shows everywhere. But anyway, yes, you want to go. If next year you should let me know. We should go together.
Hell yeah, man. Well, all right, let me ask you, too. So you and I are, you know, working journalists that can finagle our way with the right glad handing. Where does, like, the average Joe fit into all this, and where can they go, and what can they see?
You know, I don't know that there is such a thing as an average Joe, because everything costs, like, you know, a ticket to any of these car shows is like $100, $175, $250, $500. You know, that's the question. I don't know. Where does the average car guy go that's just a workaday Joe that doesn't want to spend a pile of money? The hotel rooms are like 17 times. A motel. One of my friends posted, I'm going to be at Motel 6. The bill for 5 days is $2,300. $2,300 at Motel 6. You can buy a share of Motel 6 for $2,300. What? No campers.
You're camping around there, right?
Nah, I don't think they allow that. But you know what it is? It's like you go for the day. You go in, you go out, and there's cars everywhere. So you don't necessarily have to go to any of the concourse because the cars are everywhere. All you got to do is just be there. Find yourself there. And go out and, you know, drive around at every little restaurant. You're going to see Ferraris and, you know, whatever the heck, you know, Auburn boat tail this or that. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, you know, it's a spectacle. There's no question about it. It's kind of like the Kentucky Derby of cars. That's what the Concours d'Elegance is. It's the car and the person's fashion that goes that matches the car. He's George Kennedy. I'm Alan Taylor. There's another hour after this. Thanks, George. You can leave the stall at the rest area now. Send you back to your... Can you spare a square? We'll be right back.
The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Woo-hoo! Welcome to the show, everybody. Well, by golly, I'm in a good mood. I am enjoying my life, and I think that's what we're supposed to do. Cars make me happy. By the way, something interesting going on here with Dodge. They're our sponsor. And the Dodge Power Dollars event is going on. It means you get $10 off for every horsepower of your new car. Think about that. You buy an 840 horsepower Demon if you could find one. Of course, no, you can't because they don't make them anymore. How about a 797 or 80? What? Hold on, let me find out. Stephen Cole Smith, how many horsepower does the Red Eye have? The new Challenger Red Eye. 797, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah. A little under 800.
So $10 off for every horsepower of your new car. Hurry into the Dodge Summer Clearance event now and save. They're really doing fun stuff with horsepower. Their commercials are cool. Their cars are cooler than dang it. And Stephen Cole Smith joining us, Auto Week Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports. Going to talk a little motorsports. I never raced that car. You know that? My Dodge Demon. Everybody's like, did you race it? And I'm like, nope, not raced it yet. And now?
Yeah, you know, I saw that commercial last night. You know, they were talking about, you know, all the money you get off the Dodge products, and they were showing, you know, the Hellcat and some of the really fast cars. And I thought, well, they never discount those. And they're just going to show us the six-cylinder Challenger. But son of a gun, they showed the rebates and discounts on the fast cars with a lot of horsepower. This is the first time I've seen them cut those prices in a long time. And, man, you know, if I had Alan Taylor money, for God's sake,
I'd probably
go hit it. But I'm just a simple country journalist. So, you know, I'm driving a Nissan Versa this week in a Honda Civic, so more appropriate. But speaking of Dodge,
yeah.
speaking of Dodge, that Dodge Demon you had, you don't have it anymore. I don't really understand what happened there. It's gone.
Well,
it's just gone.
Yeah. You know, I've been married 33 years, just celebrated my 33 anniversary. And 38 years with my wife, Jan, who I love more today than I did yesterday and every day before that. And she's a good woman.
And I cannot tell people what a saint she is.
This is true. She is my ticket to heaven. I'm telling you.
Right.
So I don't change girls. I change cars. And I've always been a kind of guy where, you know, I had one girl and lots of cars. So I go about a year, 2 years. I went 3 years on the Viper and I sold that. And then it was a year and a half. And a buddy of mine over at Mag Auctions, he goes, "Hey, why don't you run your Demon through here?" And I thought, well, it couldn't hurt. Somebody bought it.
I was
Oh, God. I wasn't sure I was going to sell. I thought, well, I'm going to put a real high reserve on it. And somebody bought it. So there's a new owner of serial number 8 Dodge Demon in Sacramento, California. That's where the guy lived.
Oh, God. So you did pretty well on it, then. You're happy.
I did pretty well. Actually, it's one of those rare times in life where the last three new cars I bought, first one was a Shelby GT500 that I bought from Carroll Shelby before he passed away. And I had it 6 years, and I put 6,000 miles on it was all. And, you know, it's like I love on my cars, but I don't drive them like everyday cars. And in 6 years, I only put 6,000 miles, and I did really good on that car. I sold it actually back to the Ford dealer after Carroll Shelby passed away. I called him, and I said, "Hey, what's this worth?" And they were like, "We want to buy it." So I sold it back to the Ford dealer that I bought for more money than I paid for it 6 years earlier, right? Then I got the Viper, and I had that 3.5 years, and I sold that for more money than I paid for it. Brand new, right? So this is a rare thing. I think I just did a trifecta, and I just sold the Demon for more than I paid for it. So I am a happy camper, and my new Toyota GR Supra Launch Edition 2020 is coming in the next couple of weeks. So I'm just trying out some different cars, and I'm going to maybe get a new Jeep Gladiator. I'm kind of thinking, you know, because I'm at that stage of my, you're at that stage too, of our lives, where we should enjoy every waking moment of our lives.
Absolutely.
And I'm doing it. I've got grandkids now, and I'm loving on them. I bought my grandkids at an auction the other day, one of those little 25-cent machines that you sit on. It looks like a motorcycle, and it goes, rim, 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 you know, when you're a little kid.
I saw it on your Facebook page. You didn't really explain what it was, but it looked cute.
And I tell you what, I love it. I've actually been riding it. I call it my hog. Although it won't go anywhere. It just sits there and makes noise. But my grandson, Owen, he's just digging on it. Let's come back and talk about more cars here on The Drive with Stephen Cole Smith, one of the best automotive motorsports journalists in the business. This is The Drive. We'll be right back. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And joining me is my buddy, Stephen Cole Smith, who is the motorsports maniac. He works for all the best magazines out there that have anything to do with motorsports. Of course, Grassroots Motorsports is where it all starts. Automobile Magazine, Auto Week, and maybe even a little bit of Racer Magazine. You still working with Racer at all?
I haven't done anything with those guys lately.
I'm calling them up right now. That's the end of that.
Do that.
Anyway, thanks for being with me today here, Steve.
Glad to, man. I got to ask you, you know, you mentioned it very briefly. You know, your trifecta is gone. So what's the fourth car? That's how many What fecta is that? A quattrofecta?
It's a quadfecta, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but you mentioned the Supra, and that kind of, I know you liked the car, but I didn't know you actually bought one, and you got one coming then?
Yeah. You know what? When I drove that thing on the racetrack, and I'm not as much of a NHRA straight line drag racing kind of guy as I am, I love going through the twisties. I love mountain roads. I love cars that can spin and turn and turn on a dime. And that was why I had the, I kind of had best of both worlds with the Supra, or the Supra, that's the one I'm getting, the Viper ACR. And that
right.
was, you know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, 13 or 14 racetrack records and, you know, crazy stuff. But it was a little bit of a car that we were talking about it in the last hour that'll bite you. I mean, there's 10 V10, so much horsepower. It was like, holy mackerel. And I loved it. Believe me, I loved it. It was a fire-breathing dragon.
Right.
But this
right.
new Toyota Supra, they call it the GR Supra Launch Edition. They made 1,499 of them. They're all on either on trucks going to the dealers right now, or they're at the port coming in. And I was at the right place at the right time on ABC showing that car, and the marketing people were there, and I said, I want one. I was kind of joking. But
yeah.
They came up to me, and they said, do you really want one? I go, yeah. You know, and they go,
we'll take a check right now for it.
Yeah. I go, do I have to give you any money? No. Okay, well, so I mean, I do when it gets here. But so they said, you know, okay, we've got a launch edition. So I said, well, what do you got there? And it's black, but they call the color nocturnal, with a red leather interior. It's a low serial number. And I'm looking at the paperwork for it. I just stopped by the dealer, and they said, well, there's still no delivery date on it. I'm like, what? Evidently, they held him up at the port. Toyota's going to be really, really particular about the Supra, because as you know, there's a big partnership with BMW. It's got the BMW
right.
drivetrain and underpinnings, and Toyota helped out with design of the body. Otherwise, it's a Z4 BMW.
Right.
And so I don't know what happened, but there was like a snag. There was some sort of a something, and it's like all of a sudden 2 months has gone by. They're supposed to be here in July. Now they're talking September. And
wow.
So, yeah, I'm like, I want my car. But at this point, I'm actually ready for it because I sold the other one. But this thing is just, it's awesome. 50-50 weight distribution. You want to know what the window sticker is?
Tell me. I got to think somewhere around 60.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, they're saying that people are willing to pay $100,000 for the
Whoa.
Supra. So this one is MSRP all the way said and done. It's the launch edition with everything, $57,375.
That is lower than everything we were expecting.
I know.
They brought that car in cheaper than it's supposed to be.
I got to tell you, and the car is actually about the same price as it was when they stopped making them 20 years ago. And
yeah.
The fact that they made this relationship with BMW enabled that, because to develop an inline six-cylinder turbo engine for that car would have cost them, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Sure.
And
yeah.
And I think they're kind of smart for doing it. There's a lot of Toyota-file type people that are purists and, you know, Supra people that are going to hate this car. But 24 miles per gallon city, 31 on the highway.
Wow.
Just a really nice, hold on, see me. Oh, here we go. Here's some more information. 3-liter turbo inline six-cylinder dual overhead cam, 24 valve per cylinder, 335 horsepower, 365 torque. But they're already doing tests, Steve, on this car. Car and Driver did it. You and I both work with them. And
yeah.
it actually had more horsepower and more torque than what they're telling the world. 8-speed
wow.
automatic transmission with paddle shifter, rear-wheel drive, launch control, active rear sport differential, active exhaust. I mean, on and on and on and on. This is just a awesome machine, and I cannot wait. And it's different because I go from a drag racing wild demon into a Toyota, and I'm back into the twisties again. And, you know, we'll see. But I think I'm going to do a Jeep Gladiator also, because I sold two. I got to buy, got to replace it with two. When we come back, I want to hear from you.
Right, buddy.
Thank you. I want to hear about what's going on in the world of motorsports. Stephen
okay.
Cole Smith, everybody. Auto Week Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports. And we'll find out what's going on in the world of motorsports from Steve right after this. Don't go anywhere. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years.
Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. And if you don't know what Brembo brakes are, ask anybody in the world of motorsports. Talk about motorsports, Stephen Cole Smith is here. And we'll just say Brembo sponsors the motorsports segment since it's right now. Steve, what's going on in the world of motorsports?
Well, you know, we're three races until the NASCAR playoffs start. Tonight we got Bristol, the night race that, you know, at one time, and it doesn't seem like that long ago, but that was the hottest ticket in motorsports, man. If you could score a seat for that night race in Bristol, you are all set. But shall we say good seats still available for the race tonight. Although, you know, last weekend, Michigan, I think their ratings are up about 14%. It was a good race. But Bristol's always fun, and, you know, it's getting kind of desperate for some guys. You know, in NASCAR, 16 drivers go to the last handful of races and battle out for the championship. Everybody else is just driving around, you know, hoping they can, just maybe do something good for next year.
Right.
But, you know, running down the list real quick, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch, Alex Bowman, Ryan Blaney, Eric Almirola, William Byron, Kyle Larson, Eric Jones, Ryan Newman, and Clint Bowyer. Now, those two guys, Eric Jones is in 14th, 70 points up. Ryan Newman and Clint Bowyer are kind of on the bubble. And outside the bubble, Daniel Suarez has had a pretty good year. Jimmy Johnson, you know, still no win. He's in 18th, and he needs to be in 16th. And then there's Paul Menard in 19th. So these guys are going to be looking for a win at Bristol tonight.
Bristol's one of those tracks that, you know, people are always going, hey, are you going to go to Bristol? You going to Bristol? And I'm like, it's not so close to me, so not easy. But, oh, if you can get tickets for me, does it get sold out or something? What's going on there?
Oh, it used to, yeah. I mean, it used to be sold out regularly. And then just the bloom fell off the NASCAR rose.
Oh.
And the day race at Bristol, they didn't even open all the stands at the last race.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there were some cordoned off, and that's just unheard of because Bristol is a great race. I mean, there's no bad seats. You get in there, it's just a half a mile. You look down, you can see the action. You don't even need binoculars. So to me, it's one of my favorite tracks, and hopefully it'll come back someday. But right now, like you said, Bristol is not on the way to anywhere. You've got to go to Bristol. It's not like you're driving by somewhere and there's Bristol, let's stop in. You know, Daytona, Indianapolis, some of those, you might be in the neighborhood, but you're not in the neighborhood of Bristol, Tennessee.
Right.
So it's looking pretty good. But for those three guys, Daniel Suarez, Jimmy Johnson, and Paul Menard, they got some work to do if they want to make the cutoff.
So, you know, it's interesting to me that, you know, with all of what's going on in the motorsport world and these electric cars and...
Right.
Do you think it's, you know, kind of the world is changing? You know, it used to be that, man, just to get credentials as a journalist to go to a NASCAR event, I mean, you had to be somebody, if you know what I mean. Nowadays,
right.
Like you said, they're not even, you know, I mean, they're like begging you to come for as far
pretty
as
much,
you know,
yeah.
Journalist.
Yeah, I haven't seen a completely full media center in a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, speaking of electric, a couple weeks ago, I was at the Rallycross race in Quebec. You know, Rallycross is the cars like the Volkswagen Beetles and the Subaru Imprezas that
right. Half
the track is dirt, half the track is asphalt. Those guys are looking at electric. They're looking really, really hard at electric because the races are short. Apparently, Tanner Faust, our friend that does a lot of the driving, including for the new movie Art of Racing in the Rain, he did a lot of driving for that. He's driven an electric rallycross car. He says it's great. It's faster. The torque is amazing. And he said it actually makes some pleasant noises that, you know, that the fans would like to hear.
Huh. It's funny. I'm just realizing I had a dream last night that I got an electric car. And the reason why is I saw a Fisker Karma over the weekend, last weekend when I was at Hot August Nights. And I was drooling over it. That is a beautiful,
gorgeous car.
And Henrik Fisker was a designer for BMW, so it looks BMW-esque, but long and low and sleek. And I literally was thinking, I got to buy this thing. So in my dream, I think I bought it, and I was standing there feeling good about it. I'm the guy that was, I hate electric cars. All of a sudden, I'm like, I could drive a Fisker Karma. And I think the new Audi that's coming out, they're starting to really get hot looking. And so I don't know. I'm kind of scared. Maybe it's a little bit of, you know, PTSD, you know? Electric cars just gross me out.
What I would do with the Fisker Karma is buy all of them I could get and put in a Chevy crate engine with an automatic transmission and get rid of all the electric crap, and you would have a gorgeous car with a drivetrain that'll go 200,000 miles without doing anything but changing the oil. Yeah, it'll burn a little bit of gas, but I can live with that.
Yeah, me too. Well, listen, thank you so much. And where are you going to be this weekend?
I am staying home. I think I got one more trip in August, but, man, I was gone so much that I'm staying home. I got a cat in my lap.
Ah, good for you.
I got things to do, so August is kind of just sticking around and then pick it back up in September.
Good for you, brother. Good for you. All right, well, enjoy your downtime. I am going to be standing at Pebble Beach if anybody wants to know where Alan Taylor is. The Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance going on this weekend, Monterey Car Week. And coming up next, we're going to talk with Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book, Autotrader, dealer.com. Gosh, you know what? I think I'm actually a little bit jealous that you're staying home. I haven't been able to stay home forever. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's underrated. It really is.
Stephen Cole Smith, Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, and Grassroots Motorsports. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Coming up next, Carl Brower. It is The Drive. We'll be right back.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off. Roll out in the Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger or share your summer in a Durango. Hurry into the Dodge Summer Clearance event now and save. See dealer for details. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/3/19. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by the new full lineup of electrified Kia Niro SUVs. Because the future is just the future until you make something of it. Kia, give it everything. I still have yet to drive the Kia Niro. Now, wait a minute. I drove that. What am I talking about? That's right. But there's three different ones. Oh, that's what it is. There's three different ones. Ah. See, I gotta get with the plan. Carl Brower joining us. Carl, Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, and Dealer.com. You're the sharp dress man. You know, all I can tell you is, yes, I know you've heard I sold the Demon. I know. you guys have, if you've heard this show before, Carl and I were Demon brothers, you know, brothers in the ownership of Demon, Dodge Demons. Do you think I'm crazy?
You know what, Alan? I don't. I've had enough cars come and go in my, car ownership history of approaching 35 years plus now, to know that, there's always another vehicle out there that you can be excited about. And if you're smart and you take care of the cars while you have them, you can do well having fun with cars and letting them move on to their next owner.
I was telling Stephen Cole Smith there, I just pulled off a trifecta. In the last decade, I've bought three new cars. And all three of them, I was able to sell them for more than I paid for them. That is so rare. And this is why I'm buying this Toyota GR Supra Launch Edition. They only made 1,499 of them. And I feel like that this car will at least hold its value for a year, year and a half. And maybe maybe go up in value depending on, you know, I mean, I don't know what the take rate's going to be, but I think these 1,500, because you and me got the demons, there was 3,300. Now,
yep.
There's only 1,500 of these special launch edition Supras, and I got one. I got a low serial number, so I'm hoping that I can do it. And what would you call that? If three is a trifecta, it'd be a quadfecta. Is there such a thing? I don't know. But
you're going to invent it all by yourself.
Exactly.
You're going to invent the quadfecta effect.
Quadfecta effect. Anyway, but I'm kind of excited. And, you know, I love cars enough to, I also love to let one go. Because then I always, it got away while it was great. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like catch and release. I went fly fishing at this fly fishing resort in outside of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And it's only a catch and release thing. So that was actually the idea. I caught like a 30-inch rainbow trout, an albino rainbow trout. I never even heard of such a thing. And it was like, wow, look at that. They wouldn't even let me touch it. Like, come on. I go, I'm going to get a picture with it. So they hand it to me. I take a picture, give it back to the guy. He gently releases it back into the water. Catch and release. And I'm like, I get that whole premise because I had my fun with that car. You know, I drove the living tar out of it. I did have a 96-month extended warranty. Did you buy that warranty by any chance?
I've got the same thing.
Yeah, it's like too good of a deal. How do you not? 96 months or 60,000 miles. And I thought to myself, you know, if I blow the engine up, I don't care. It's got first warranty. And if for some reason they balk, I got second warranty, you know? So not that I would blow the engine up because it's a Dodge and they're made good. But I tried to blow up the engine, but it wouldn't do it. But anyway, yes, I think the catch and release theory is where I'm at now in my life. Because, you know, I mean, there are not many people like you that can have a demon on one side of the garage and a Ford GT on the other. And I realize that because you had to give up that one leg, they have great prosthetics. I get it, Carl. But not many people are willing to give up an arm and a leg like you did. And you're a lucky man you are. I'm very fortunate and blessed to have those cars. So I just want to keep walking through the cars. And how's your demon doing, by the way?
I got to tell you, we had a Kelley Blue Book employee car show here a couple, like just last week, and I drove both of them. I corralled my wife into, since I haven't mastered that, drive two cars at once. So she followed me in the Demon, and I took the GT over, and we had them both at the show. I got to tell you, Alan, I took a slew of photos. I mean, it was probably dangerous because I'm trying to drive my GT, and I just cannot stop shooting photos of that Demon. It, you know, it's one of those curses. When you have a cool car, what's one of the things you rarely get to do? See it in motion. You're inside it.
Right.
You're rarely an observer of your own car. And watching that thing go down the road, and I had just washed it, you know, that Tour Red paint was just, you know, searing, retina searing red.
Right.
And I just was driving around, you know, circling it with the GT, shooting photos and having a blast. And the car is beautiful.
There's the picture we wish we had the video, or the video we had video of. Is a Ford GT trying to take photos of a Dodge Demon. That's too much fun, right? Speaking of that, these supercars, right? You just recently drove a 2020 Lamborghini Huracan Evo Spider. Holy crap, holy. That's that equivalent. I think the Demon is still faster. Am I wrong?
Right? In a straight line, the Demon is still faster.
Yeah, right there with it, right? Oh my God, right? How much was that Lamborghini Huracan Evo Spider?
That was, you know, $287,400 before a $3,600 destination charge. And then, and the one we had, most of the ones we had were more like $330,000, $340,000 with all the options
there. Man, oh man. So that's the thing, you know, when I'm talking to people about some of these cars, and look, you and I both owned them, so we're kind of spoiled. To have a car that'll do 2.3 seconds, 0 to 60, you know, you've done it before. You put the smaller front tires on it, and you've changed out the computer brain and put the racing fuel in it. I never did that. But even without that, it was still probably, a 3 second, 0 to 60 car, which is insanity. I remember
that
when
car
I was...
screws you up.
Yeah, you know, it does.
That car screws you up, Alan. You're like, then you get in other cars that are fast, and you're like, this car's not very fast. And you're like, whoa, Carl. Your perspective is a little off. Try to think like an average person.
Well, I got vertigo one time when I rode in a car that was like 3 second or 3.2, 0 to 60. And my eyeballs were like going rolling upside down in my head. I thought, oh my God, that's unnatural. You could die. You know, and here 2.3 seconds with a pushrod V8, big old fat American car. God bless Dodge for doing that. I got to tell you, I love that stuff. All right, hold on a second. I got to take a little break here. We got to pay some bills. You know how that works. All right, Carl Brower, Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader, Dealer.com. We're going to come back and talk about some more car stuff. Let's see, what do you got going on here? You want to talk about a 2004 Chevrolet Malibu? How do we go from Huracan Spider to what? All right, we'll do it. We'll
take the other side of the spectrum.
Right. Carl Brower, visit KBB.com to find out what your car is worth, what you should pay for it if you're going to buy one, or what you should sell it for. KBB, Kelley Blue Book. And I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Listening to The Drive all across America and around the world. Special guest Carl Brower, my pal, executive publisher, Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, and Dealer.com. They know what things are worth because they've got the data to back it up. And so if you want to buy or sell something, check it out at KBB.com and do what I do, what I've done for years. Use Auto Trader to see what everybody else is selling their stuff for. Kind of do your little comparo thing. Well, that guy's is, you know, it's got 110,000 miles. Mine's only got 70. So mine may be worth a little bit more. And mine has better wheels than his does. You can kind of come up with your own kind of, you know, your own value based on market research that you do on your own. Best place to do it, Auto Trader, and then check out and see what Kelley Blue Book has to say about the value of the wholesale and retail of your vehicle. Carl, you want to talk about what? A 2004 Chevy Malibu? What's going on there?
Dude, Malibu gonna get you, as Bob Dylan might say. I just had to call this out because I sent that car to Denver with my son at the beginning of the summer, and I just retrieved him this past weekend to get him back out here so he can go back to college. And this car has 142,000 miles on it. The 2004 Chevrolet Malibu with a 3.5 liter V6. And on the way there in May and on the way back this past weekend, the car was averaging around 32 miles to the gallon. This is cruising at 80 plus miles an hour most of the way, because that's a legal speed limit, by the way. I'm happy to admit that.
Right.
I mean, speed limit is 80 all across Utah, and a good chunk of Colorado has, like, I think 75. So you can cruise at 80 plus and really not even be breaking the law. And this car is getting great gas mileage and 142,000 miles. And it started me thinking, Alan, it's like, you know, I don't know how much better, like, a brand new Camry or Accord is going to do under that same circumstance. I mean, those cars are going to have much more refined drivetrains, you know, especially compared to mine, and they're going to be quieter on the highway. They're going to have a bunch of advantages over mine.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Didn't you pay this one? You paid $900 for?
No, I paid 11. I got 20,000 miles. I got it with 20,000 miles, 1 year old, out of a long-term fleet at the previous place I worked at, and it had never gotten any damage or even the wheels curved, and I was like, huh, I wonder if I could lowball these guys. And it was a $17,000 market value at the time, according to all the research. And I offered them 11, and they took it. So I got the car with 20,000 miles on it at $11,000 in 2005, 1 year old.
Wait a minute. Who's been driving it? You made your wife drive a Chevy Malibu all those years?
That's been her primary driver for the past 15 years.
And you got Porsches and all these cars in the garage.
Yeah, no. It drives me nuts because I had the 911 Carrera in there for a while. Yeah. Certified pre-owned one I bought, the 2009. She wouldn't drive it. You know what she said? You know, you're going to sell it at some point. And if I screwed it up at all, then I'm going to be in trouble and all.
And I
can't deal with the stress. And I was like, come on. And then, of course, they unveiled the new Ford GT in 2015. I'm like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Everything's going up for sale, including the 911.
Right.
So she was right. But yeah, so she loves driving the Malibu because zero stress. It's like, I park this wherever I want. I drive it wherever I want. I don't care what neighborhood I'm in. I don't care what parking spot I'm in. If someone's next to me, hit the door. So the car is like this, and it's funny when you think about it, Alan, because how many cars since I got that thing in 2005, how many cars have I gone through? If I look at my list of cars that have come and gone since that car
arrived,
and that car, yeah, dream cars. 05, you know, new Ford GTs, and I had a 74 Pontiac Firebird Super Duty Trans Am, Super Duty 455, super rare car with 16,000 miles. I've had all these cars come and go. A 70 Dodge Challenger RTSE with a 440, all original, plum crazy. But I realized it's like, okay, how come the one car that's the least interesting of all these cars I've got is the one that's here? And you know what I've realized recently is because it's got something those other cars didn't have. Utility and no market value. And that's a combination that's very magical for someone like me, right? I can't sell that car. I'm not going to get any money for it.
Right.
Its value as a functional device is far higher than its market value.
I got to tell you, this is interesting. This is very interesting because I, at Hot August Nights, at the Mag Auction, they have a classic car auction, and the local Mercedes-Benz dealer brought, like, I don't know, 10 late model vehicles to try and put them through this, you know, classic car auction because there was a people there with a lot of money. That's where I sold my Demon. My car was a little out of place, but guess what? It is a classic collectible car already, even at 2018 Demon, right? So guess, what did I do? I bought a BMW X5 diesel SUV with 120,000 miles. And then I bought a 2011 model. I bought a 2011 Mercedes-Benz ML diesel with 150,000 miles on. I bought them so cheap, it was ridiculous. I bought them both. I told my wife, pick which one you like. You know, she's like, my daughter goes, I want that one. And so now they're fighting over which one, you know, gets the Mercedes. Cheap. And the thing is, 120,000 or 140 or 50,000 miles on today's late model vehicles is nothing if they've been well cared for. Now, guess what? The one thing that was very key to me buying the Mercedes with 150,000 miles, 145, whatever it was it said one owner, all maintenance records, you know, it's like all over the windshield of all the things that they had for this car. The car looked like new. And here's the deal. If you go to Texas and people listening in Texas, you know what I'm talking about. I have seen cars with 500,000 and 600,000 miles on the speedometer. And so 150,000 is considered low miles if you live in Texas. So anyway, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Used to be they only last 70,000-80,000 miles. You almost have to rebuild the engine, you know?
Yeah, no, well, they didn't even have six-digit, you know, odometers, right? They flipped over to 100,000 because they figured the car'd never go that high.
I know it. All right, when we come back, Carl and I are going to both be at Pebble Beach, the Concorde Elegance. In Carmel and Monterey, the Monterey Peninsula, this weekend. We hope that you're there. We bump into you. We're going to go, get out of the way. That's how we are. It is The Drive. We'll be right back. Doing it naturally. But if it's too easy, over the years, automakers have spent a lot of time talking about the future. At Kia, they don't sit around dreaming of a better tomorrow because they already made it so that you can have it today. Introducing Kia's lineup of electrified Niro SUVs, the hybrid, the plug-in, and the electric, with an EPA estimated range of 239 miles. Because the future is just the future until we make something of it. Kia, give it everything. 239-mile EPA estimated range on a full charge. Actual range may vary. Niro EV is in select retailers and select markets with limited availability.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by the all-new Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Three rows of seats in a Subaru, 19 cup holders. Yeah. That's what I needed when I had all four of my kids at one time. But no, I made my wife drive a 15-passenger E350 one-ton extended wheelbase van because each kid had to have his own row of seats, and that was the best way to do it back in those days because, you know, don't touch me, he touched me, don't touch me, he touched me, you know, it's like all that stuff. Carl Brower joining us. Carl, I also forgot to mention you did drive the 2020 Lamborghini Huracan Evo Spider, and there is a story at Forbes.com Karl Brauer Lamborghini. I don't know. They can go to Forbes and put Lamborghini Karl Brauer, probably, right? What's the best
way to... just do a, if you do a Google search just on Huracan Evo Spider, it's still on the front page. You can see it there. And, there the results
and that is spelled H-U-R-A-C-A-N, Huracan. So,
yep, H-U-R-A-C-A-N.
So what are you doing? Are you going out to Pebble Beach with any of the automakers? Typically, you know, you go out there with them. I have a knapsack, throw it over my shoulder, sleep in the bushes. You know, that's why I had leaves in my hair when you saw me last time. I was still freshening up.
Hey, I was just glad it was only leaves. I was worried what else might have been in there. So.
No, this is Pebble Beach. It's pretty nice bedding in there.
Yes, I will be out there with the lovely Acura folks. They have been gracious enough to let me travel with them a couple times now, and they are even gracious enough to let me bring the better half. So we will be there. We're flying up tomorrow, which will be a couple days earlier from when the show's on, right? But, yeah, that's where we're at right now. And you and I both.
Right.
And I got to tell you, you had that song on, you know, ZZ Top's Legs. Talk about a show that has legs. I have been to this show at least 10 or 12 times now. And you know what, Alan? I'm excited every year. It never gets old.
You know what? The only thing that gets old, though, is the parking problem out there. But yeah, I've been 25 years in a row.
Wow.
That's crazy, right? And I've done a show for 25 years in a row, and I'll be... For those that are going to go out to Pebble Beach that are, you know, you might be on your way there right now because we play all over the country and also down in that area. We will be, Carl will probably be joining me on the 18th green and at the top of the fairway right in front of the suites there doing a live broadcast. And then that'll play next week for you folks that are listening right now. And, you know, I know that... It's a rare thing, and I feel very fortunate, and I want to thank publicly my friend Barry McGuire from McGuire's Car Wax, who is just a gracious man. And sadly, his daughter, Nicole, who has become like a sister to me, passed away just about a month ago, just had a heart attack and passed away in her sleep. And it's just so sad. She was 49 years old.
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be the first time I've seen Barry McGuire since that happened. But man, talk about a man of Christ. His Facebook posts and what have you are so uplifting because, you know, these bodies that we have, they're just kind of just a vessel to carry us through this time we have down here on Earth so that we can learn something, take back to where we, you know, originated and say, well, you know, what did you learn while you were down there on Earth? I mean, you and me learned about fast cars, I'll tell you that. Thank God. So anyway, God bless.
It's true.
Godspeed.
It's all true. Barry's a great guy, and he's got the right philosophy to get him through these kind of hard times. So I wish him the best.
Yep. But other than that, let's see. So the Pebble Beach Car Show is huge. Are you going to the Quail event?
I will be at Quail on Friday, and I will be at the Historics on Saturday at the WeatherTech Speedway.
What about Concorso Italiano?
I have not been to that one in the last couple of years, and it's not like I don't enjoy it or wouldn't go back again, but logistically it's hard to do that and Quail on the Friday, and I feel like this will only be my third time at Quail. I think I did Concorso at least 9 of my 12 times up there, so I'm happy to lean on the Quail side a little bit currently. I might go back on the Concorso side in another few years.
I like to wear shorts and a... kind of a whole, you know, t-shirt with holes in it that has a Rat Fink on the front. So I tried to get into Quail. They wouldn't let me in. They said, no, last year your flip-flops kind of, you know, prohibited. I'm banned from the Quail. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I should be banned from all of it.
Tell them you're part of the event staff. You're here to help change the oil in the cars. You're going to let you in.
No, believe me, people that are in there changing the oil in those cars, those guys are high paid. I don't make that
much
money.
They're dressed like surgeons.
Corky Coker, our friend from Coker Tire, he called me flip-flop because I showed up to an event in shorts and flip-flops. I go, it's a beach, Pebble Beach, right? Everybody was in, you know, bow ties and anyway. Carl Brauer, thank you very much. I hope to see you, walking around Pebble Beach. Kelly Blue Book, Auto Trader, Dealer.com. He is the executive publisher. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you guys next week. Next week's show will be from Pebble Beach. See you then.
The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.